Hi and welcome to Last Man Standing here with me, Paul Stevenson. This is Sunday, the 3rd of April, 2022. I'll be with you for the next hour here. That's through from 9 till 10 Central Time, 10 till 11 Eastern Time. I hope you all had a great weekend. Before I forget, because I sometimes do until later, do support RBN. We need your support to stay on the air, and I think it's imperative for networks like this to stay on the air. And not just stay on the air, but expand and grow and have more influence so we can disseminate and, as I say, have more influence than eventually, hopefully, mainstream media or getting in that direction. Because mainstream media is full of lies and deceit, as we know. And when more people are aware and listening to networks like this, I think the world will be a better place. We don't always get it right, but we speak the truth as we see it and as we find it. And we love the truth here on networks like this. And hopefully, with networks like this growing, we can reach some of those tragic people that are so indoctrinated by mainstream media. And nowhere, I think, has this been seen and highlighted so much within this Ukraine thing. I mean, I thought the COVID thing was bad, but the Ukraine thing is really off the charts. So do support us and help us to grow and have a wider influence. If you want to support the work I do, you can do that on PayPal as well. I appreciate that, anybody who does support me. That's just my email you need there to support me. It's Stevenson_P5. My Odyssey channel is where I post most of my content. That's just Paul Edward Stevenson. So go and subscribe there, and you can watch the content on there, much of it from RBN. But also, I do a show with David Duke every Thursday on the Rents Network. You can pick that up at daviddjuke.com as well. And also, on the first Tuesday of the month, I'm with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And that actually will be this Tuesday. And that's at, it's at 2 p.m. UK time. So what's that? 8 a.m. Central Time and 9 Eastern Time. And that's also on the Rents Network. And of course, I'm on with RBN's very own Richard Carey on Beyond the Official Narrative at Midday Central. So yeah, tune in and support the work I do. I appreciate it. Okay, I'm going to break down a couple of stories tonight, and I think they really highlight this gulf, this chasm between Western media and other sources, like, say, RT. And you'd expect that there to be a difference there, but it is such a vast difference. It is worlds apart. I mean, it really is two different realities. And as a kind of a rule of thumb, I largely consider Western media, CNN, MSNBC, the usual suspects, Sky News over here, BBC News, Channel 4 News, ITV over here, all our mainstream newspapers. I kind of dismiss 90% of what they put out as lies, deception, propaganda, social engineering. It is that bad. It's ironic that we demonize Putin and his regime so intensely and with such hostility for the type of shenanigans that we here ourselves are so guilty of. But yet it's under the facade and the pretense of our liberal democracy values. It's always us good, liberal democracies good, benevolent, and we only ever make mistakes when it goes wrong, of course. We're always well-intentioned, and people like Vladimir Putin and the Russian Federation are evil, and they, you know, they indulge in all that propaganda and disinformation, don't you know? And yeah, they're evil, and this is a completely unprovoked attack on Putin or on the Ukraine. Our lovely buddies in the Ukraine that everyone loves, and everyone suddenly seems to be preoccupied with caring about. I mean, do I have sympathy for them in Ukraine? Yeah, no one wants to be in a war zone, but let's be honest about it. It was the West the US and NATO that caused this. They backed Putin into a corner, and he didn't really have anywhere else to go. One of the other things I hear from people, even in alternative circles, is talking about even people who know the history of that region. They know about the Donbass, they know about NATO aggression, they know that Vladimir Putin's been like a broken record for the last 20 years. And with this, rhetoric that NATO must not expand eastward, and they've done nothing but expand eastward in the last 20 years, despite Putin's legitimate security concerns. And of course, the Ukraine has been the final straw, the red line in the sand. And, you know, this shouldn't be surprising to us, for anybody who has any remote knowledge and is remotely informed about that region and the context of what's been going on there. But yet a lot of people I hear, and I'm not really sure why, I can speculate, they still say that it was wrong for Vladimir Putin to invade the Ukraine, and it was still, they wouldn't use the word barbaric and necessarily completely unprovoked, for example, but there's still condemnation there of Vladimir Putin for this war. And, you know, the kind of rhetoric is that he shouldn't have invaded them, and war is evil, and it was unnecessary, and whatever. But I'd like to know what the alternative is. And I think people say this almost as a kind of a... is it self-censorship? I don't know. Maybe it's just an instinctive thing against war. And I understand that. War is a horrible thing. It should be avoided at all costs. And it could have been, and it should have been avoided, this war. But unfortunately, we are dealing with forces in the West that control U.S. foreign policy, that don't seem to really have the same constitution and the same repulsion and the same moral compass when it comes to war. Often they like war. It's profitable. It can bring about certain geopolitical results that they wish to achieve. Or they simply are just barbaric themselves. And I'm talking very much about the Jewish element in the West, and particularly Zionist Jews who largely control U.S. foreign policy. These people are not so against war. It's water off a duck's back to these people. But I understand people's repulsion to war, and I understand that maybe people are instinctively reacting to it. But I've heard so many people go into the whole background of the Ukraine thing and present Vladimir Putin's side of the story. And then at the end of it, they round it up by saying, but, you know, he still shouldn't have invaded the war, or he still shouldn't have invaded Ukraine. This is a horrendous act, and he should be condemned for it. So what's the alternative then, having already presented the whole history of that region, which also demonstrates the patience of Vladimir Putin? What was the man supposed to do? The reality is there are occasions for legitimate national security where, unfortunately, wars are necessary. None of the wars that the West has been fighting, the Jewish wars that have been fought probably in the last century, were necessary. They were provoked. People were pushed into it. Countries were invaded. Anyone who resisted having regime change in their own country were eventually invaded and murdered, as was the case of Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi, among others. Those were unnecessary wars. But what was Vladimir Putin supposed to actually do? What was the alternative? Sign over the deeds for the Russian Federation? Because I can't think of any other option. If he is to defend, and he is serious about the Ukraine being the final straw and the red line, then he had to invade Ukraine, and the Western, particularly, as I say, the US occupied, Zionist occupied government, and those who they've bullied and intimidated in the NATO countries are who and what caused Vladimir Putin to eventually invade the Ukraine. Now, and by the way, as a Christian, some people might think, well, that, you know, that's not very Christian, maybe, to say that sometimes wars are necessary. But, you know, I've prefaced it by saying that war is and should be the absolute final and last resort. And that's where they took Vladimir Putin. But let's be real about it. Let's get into reality. You know, nations will defend themselves when under genuine threat. They will. They always have done. There has been wars right throughout history. Go and read the scriptures, any Christians who have an issue with this. It's a sad state of affairs that man has to engage and indulge in wars. As I've said, to my mind, Vladimir Putin's war is the only war that I think that is defendable, is justifiable. None of the wars that the West has fought in Iraq and Libya and Syria and Yugoslavia, these are wars which are driven by pure evil. Vladimir Putin, on the other hand, despite being portrayed as pure evil, is defending himself against pure evil and is defending his country. So there is this, like I said, I mentioned, I digress, but there's this massive gulf between how the West presents that war and how and what the reality is there. Now, I'll preface this by saying I don't think any of us really know for sure, for absolute sure, what's happening out there. The Western narrative is very much that the Ukrainians have shown much greater resistance than Putin could ever have imagined. And that they almost, that there's been a complacency on the Russian side, and they've got bogged down there, and they weren't expecting this tremendous resistance from the Ukrainian people, and the Russians aren't prepared for it. And the Russians, because it's they're an invading force, and they're all almost forced into it. They don't have this same zeal for this war, unlike the Ukrainians, who have that sort of the moral high ground on this. They are defending their territory, and that makes the difference. And so the Ukrainians are they're getting big victories over here, and this is a real slog for the Russians. That's kind of pretty much our narrative here in Western media, to the point that there is this childlike, irresponsible, reckless encouragement from Western talking heads and media and in governments that the Ukraine can win this, like it's a boxing match or something. Like I played last week, this clown Brian Kilmeade, he didn't even indulge us in the analogy of an actual boxing match or a sporting event, but a fictional film about a boxing match in the Rocky movie. And it is completely reckless and irresponsible. There doesn't seem to be any adults in the room who understand that even if the Ukraine are putting up a better fight than the Russians thought they would, when you look at all our sources like RT, and I would expect RT to be biased as well to some extent, when I listen to RT with other things, when it comes to economics and all sorts of things over the years, they are much more honest and trustworthy than anything I've heard in our media. Or you listen to an ex-military guy and an ex-CIA guy who's very clued up in the Russian situation, Scott Ritter, for example. He has a very different view on it as well, largely that, you know, the Russians have this under control. And also Colonel Douglas McGregor, he would echo that, and he would suggest the same scenario, that the Russians have this very much under control. And the reason that any of it has taken as long as it has done is simply because of the restraint on Putin and Russia's side to minimize death, human casualties, and destruction and damage to infrastructure. They have been very clear from the start what their goals are. They want to demilitarize the Ukraine. They want it to be neutral to NATO. They want to get rid of these neo-Nazi, or those who call themselves neo-Nazis. To my mind, these guys are very, very misguided. They have a very different view of what I understand of National Socialism, let's put it that way, and a mixture of mercenaries. They're like kind of the sort of jihadi-type moderate rebels that that the West supported, funded, and armed in Syria to topple the Syrian regime. So they're part of a proxy war, essentially, against Russia. But Russia wants to get rid of those elements. They've caused a lot of problems, a lot of death in the Donbass region in the east of Ukraine. He wants them to be neutral when it comes to NATO, which is a big one. He wants them to recognize the Donbass regions, the Donetsk and the Luhansk republics of that region, as republics, as officially independent, autonomous regions. And he also wants it officially recognized that the Crimea is no longer Ukraine territory. But this is what we have here, for example. Let's compare and contrast, and this is really disappointing in a way. I shouldn't be disappointed, but there's a gentleman over here, and this kind of really does highlight and encapsulate this view. And this is from someone, I think, he's an older guy. I grew up with him on BBC when BBC was somewhat better. It wouldn't be difficult. But Andrew Neil, and rightly or wrongly, I expected more from him. He is worthy of some respect, I think. Or maybe it's just that he's from a time when journalism was better, was more honest or more informed or something. But the Western media has deteriorated massively over the last even like 10 years. It's almost impossible to believe anything comes out of there. It's very hostile to the national interests of our own nation here, for example, in the case of the BBC. It's very anti-white. It's very anti-Christian. It indulges in all sorts of lies and social engineering, which are very counterintuitive to the national interest and to its people. But Andrew Neil, I was almost shocked. And he said, it's time for Britain and its NATO allies to give Ukraine the weapons it needs to win this war. And this is someone who I would consider a serious journalist. And in his case, I don't think, you know, because you've got two types of people, I guess, when it comes to journalism. You've got, on the one hand, you've got people who are deliberately trying to deceive. They are liars and hypocrites. And you've got other people who are just ignorant and who are just not informed and are drinking the Kool-Aid themselves. And I think you would have to put Andrew Neil in that category. And it's very disappointing because he says President Putin launched his unprovoked attack. I mean, we've heard this over and over again on Ukraine just over 5 weeks ago. It's already clear he's lost. Now, we have two sentences there. And how much is in those two sentences? We have an unprovoked attack. And it's already clear in his mind that he's lost. How can Andrew Neil be that ignorant and be that misinformed to suggest that this was an unprovoked attack? Does this man did he not listen to the speech in 2017, which isn't that long ago, that Vladimir Putin gave to the I'm trying to remember, but it was a very famous speech. It'll come to me. And he condemned the West for their expansion of NATO and US exceptionalism and all of it and what's happening in the Ukraine. I mean, this information is available. If I know it, how come Andrew Neil doesn't know it? How can he suggest, looking at the history of that region, that this is an unprovoked attack? And how can he also state unequivocally It's already clear he's lost. Clear to who? I've been studying this stuff myself since this, for years, and since this thing, this war began. It's not clear to me about anything, except that mainstream media is full of it and come out with statements like this. How does he know this? He said he thought Russian forces would sweep everything before them and all of Ukraine would be occupied in a matter of days. Did he? I mean, is this guy literally on the phone to Putin? What's the crack, Vlad? What's going on? I mean, yes, I'm going to sweep everything in front of me and I will get war over in a matter of days. I mean, this is kind of what you'd be led to believe by these guys. I mean, how does he know this? Nowhere did Putin give a timeline. We know what his goals are. They've been very clear from the start. But yet we hear guys like this and others talk about this idea that Russia's going to expand the Russian Empire. And if we don't, you know, we don't fight them over there, we'll be fighting them here kind of stuff. Where do we hear that before? You know, the weapons of mass destruction. We hear those BS all the time. Nowhere has Putin said anything like that. Now, he's maybe not going to say it, but from my experience of Vladimir Putin, this guy's actually pretty honest for a politician. You know, well, I suppose when you're used to Western politicians, the bar's not very high. And it's one of the reasons I actually have respect for Vladimir Putin, because this looks like what a leader should be. Cares about his country. Says, you know, seems to my mind to speak a lot more truth than any of our politicians, which just incessantly pump out lies, and it's just constant mendacity and hypocrisy to the point that it insults our intelligence. And Vladimir Putin, while no doubt not perfect, he doesn't seem to be in the same category in my mind, and he's been very clear. And when he said he's going to do something, he does it. And it says its right to exist as a sovereign nation, which he denies. I don't think Putin has ever denied its right to exist. Again, go and listen to even some of the speeches that he made before this, before the couple of days before he invaded. He gave a speech about the history of that region. He recognizes it as a sovereign nation, historically, in terms of recent history at least. His problem is not that it's a sovereign nation. His problem is that it's ruled by the United States. It's a vassal state of the occupied government of the United States. He wants it to be neutral. He's happy for it to be. Ultimately, if he'd given a choice, he would like it to be absorbed back into Russia. But that's not what he's intending and doing. He wants it to be neutral, and he wants it to be governed by at least a government there that's not hostile to Russia and isn't dancing to the tune of the so-called liberal West, and the United States particularly, which again dominates and dictates to the NATO countries, whether it's in their national interests or not, as is particularly highlighted tragically in the case of Germany, where if they don't adhere to the new conditions of paying in rubles, Russia will turn off the Nord Stream tap, of which the Germans are literally dependent on to keep the lights on, to keep their homes warm, and to put fuel in their cars. It's totally unnecessary. It's based on this idea that Russia is always bad, and that Germany is now reaping their rewards, if you like. And the chickens are coming home to roost for relying on Russia for energy. To my mind, it's not a problem relying on Russia for energy. It's a problem when you have a country thousands of miles away, which should be minding its own business, or again, the occupied government of that country, dictating to you that you must hate Russia. Otherwise, there was no problem. The Germans obviously didn't fear Vladimir Putin, because they were accepting oil from him, and they didn't seem to have any fear. Otherwise, they wouldn't have this trade relationship with Russia, because they would have feared that this could cause big problems, because those Russians might just start to get their claws out. That bear might just attack us one day when we're not looking, and we'll be in all sorts of trouble. But the Germans felt no fear. They felt no such issue. They didn't deem it necessary to ascribe this kind of imminent hostility from Russia, because it's nonsense. And the fact that they have been accepting and trading in so much oil and natural gas from Russia would only add weight to that argument. It's only when, as I say, the US came in there and dictated to them that it's causing them problems. But Putin has never said that he's going to be expanding into those countries like Estonia and Poland and expanding, or maybe, you know, wanting to reclaim those ex-communist countries, for example. It's just, I don't know where these people get this from. It says, its right to exist as a foreign nation, which he denies, which he doesn't, would be quickly extinguished as he forced it into his vainglorious vision of a greater Russia. There you go. This greater Russia. Where does he get this from? Very good question. I don't know. I mean, out of just pure propaganda sources that go unchallenged, sadly, even by journalists who I would have afforded a measure of respect up until this article. He's now in the category of a complete moron, not worthy of any respect, because this article's a disgrace. Not because it's so ill-informed. I don't think Andrew Neil is necessarily pushing propaganda. I might be wrong about that. I think this is just more pure ignorance, which is unacceptable when you're writing for an article which people take seriously. And as I say, he is one of the guys which would garner some respect. So this idea of Putin's vision of a greater Russia is ubiquitous. It's one of the main propaganda points and narratives in Western media, and it has no basis in reality. And if you ask them where did they get this from and where is their support for this claim, they would be looking a long time. It is pure conspiracy theory. These are the same types of people, by the way, who call us conspiracy theorists for talking about things like the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum, and the New World Order, despite the fact that this is all on record, and even in more recent times I've heard this phrase being used by US foreign politicians and EU politicians all over the place, the New World Order. But anyway, or at best be a puppet government in Kiev. Well, there's a puppet government in Kiev today. It's not a democracy in the way we keep talking about Ukraine as if it's a democracy. It's not really a democracy in the way we think of democracy. But then we don't really have democracies here either. It's a facade. It's authoritarian under the guise of a democracy. It's more authoritarian in our countries through the back door than probably what they portray Russia to be. So if it's going to be a puppet, Putin wants it to be a Russian puppet. And I don't even think, like I said, that he wants it to be a Russian puppet. He just doesn't want it to be hostile to Russia. He doesn't want it to be a vassal state of the United States and NATO, who are pouring arms in there and training Ukrainian forces, which he knows they're training to be hostile to the Russian Federation. He goes on, Putin's dream has turned into a nightmare. Again, absolutely no evidence for this at all. If you look at it geopolitically, Putin seems to be way ahead of the game. That guy Scott Ritten, that I mentioned earlier, I heard him recently, and his claim was that far from, you know, anything turning into a nightmare, it's pretty much going according to plan. Scott Ritter, excuse me, with the only holdups being that he's trying to minimize damage and death there and damage to property and infrastructure. But also, I think he did mention that, you know, the Ukrainians have dug in and fought harder, maybe a bit harder than what Putin maybe thought. That was his take. But nowhere to the point where it's like turning into a nightmare for him. Again, baseless claims and essentially conspiracy theories. But they just put it out there as if it's absolute, unequivocal reality. His war dead and wrecked armor litter the Ukrainian ground, leaving the hopes of overwhelming the country in tatters. He simply doesn't have the reserves or reinforcements to replace the massive scale of losses. Again, this is a very different narrative from what you're getting in alternative sources and sources in RT. Now, RT, do I expect RT to be, saying anything anti-Russia? Not really. But I have a rule of thumb that basically about 90 or 95% of our media is lies, propaganda, and deception. And probably about 80% of Russia Today is actually truthful. Because I've listened to Russia Today for years, going back probably 15 years. And they talk about a lot of things there. Economic, social, and they are pretty, to my mind, they do their research. They're a pretty truthful organization. They have their views and they speak the truth as they see it. I don't always agree with everything they say, but I don't see deliberate lies. I don't see propaganda to the extent that our media indulges in. Nowhere near it. So Andrew Neil here, and again, where is he getting this information? There's no such sources given. At least what I'm quoting, I'm talking about RT, who have journalists on the ground there. I'm talking about Scott Ritter, who is somewhat of an expert in warfare and the Russian Federation, because that's what his background is. When I'm talking about Douglas McGregor, he has sources out there as well that he knows from his military days. And he has a very different view. And again, he echoes the same thing. Russia's very much in control of the situation. And it's just taken a bit longer because they're trying to minimize deaths and destruction. But defeat for President Putin is not quite the same as victory for President Zelensky. It is time for Britain and its NATO allies to give Ukraine and its formidable military the resources it needs to put victory beyond doubt. I mean, this guy is delusional. He said it is quite remarkable that we can already contemplate such a course of action. 2 days after the Russian invasion began, I wrote on those pages, as you read this, Russian forces could already have taken Kiev. If not, its fall will be days, if not hours, away. I have never been so delighted to be so wrong. The problem is, you see, this guy is applying and he's projecting what our militaries do in places like Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya, because they go in there and they don't care how many people they kill. They carpet bomb the place and it's just outright destruction and death. What they bring. So yeah, they're going to get it done a little bit quicker. Anyway, this highlights what I said, you know, the delusions. I mean, it's more of the same as you would expect. And it's sad because there are no adults in the room saying, listen, we need to get these people to sit down and talk. We've pushed Putin far enough. He's been warning about this for years. It shouldn't be news to us. He's only doing what he said he was going to do. And this is bad enough. The Ukrainians are not going to win this. Even if they fight harder than we ever imagined, all it's going to do is result in more death and more destruction. Let's sit down and talk. And instead of doubling down, give Vladimir Putin some respect. Let's meet his legitimate national security concerns and get this done with. No one's talking like that. And of course, when you look at Joe Biden and his administration, this is another excuse for blaming inflation on, is to try and take distract the American people from his own policies and trying to boost his popularity, like wars sometimes tend to do, the patriotic factor, like Boris Johnson's doing here, and sadly is with some success. And there's all sorts of agendas going on here. But why isn't there more people, it's people like Andrew Neil, why isn't there more adults in the room that are actually saying, listen, this needs to stop, sit down and talk, and you're not in a position to be in the driving seat with the negotiations. You should have listened to Putin in the first place. He's been very patient. And now it's resulted in this, and let's not take this any further. And it does go further because you have our media talking about a no-fly zone and sending in the RAF. It's just like this is an emotional frenzy. It's very scary to see people stirred up like this to the point that even World War III doesn't seem to put the brakes on. In another story, I always find it fascinating, actually, why you've got half the population that are so easily indoctrinated, and the other half of the population seem to do their own thinking and do their own research and inform themselves. You know, Jesus spoke about, and the scriptures talk about, there seems to be two types of people. You know, there are scriptures like, for those who love the truth, in Thessalonians, for those who had not a love of the truth, I shall send them strong delusion, so that they may believe the lie and be condemned. And when you first read that, you think, God's sending them a delusion? You know, we affirm God's a good God. Jesus is a good God. He's sending them a delusion so that they can believe a lie and be condemned? What's going on here? Well, what does the first part of it say? Because. It's not in a vacuum. Because they had not a love of the truth. In other words, they don't love the truth. So the Lord's saying, you don't love the truth? Okay, I will send you delusion. I will send you the BS that you love. Sorry, it's irreverent. I shouldn't even... But anyway, I will send you the delusion, the deception. And you'll believe that because you don't love the truth. And if you don't love the truth, this is very important to the Lord. Then you can have this instead. You can believe that. Believe the lie and you'll be condemned. This is an offense to the Lord. But there are these types of people. It seems about half the population, it would seem. In an article in Global Research, we get a very different picture. And this is a rare occasion where we get some truth out of our media. It says, it's an article by Joe Lauria, spelled L-A-U-R-I-A. The Pentagon drops truth bombs to stave off war with Russia. And it says, two leaked stories from the Pentagon have exposed the lies of mainstream media about how Russia is conducting the Ukraine war in a bid to counter propaganda intended to get NATO into the conflict, writes Joe Lauria. The Pentagon is engaged in a consequential battle with the US State Department and the Congress to prevent a direct military confrontation with Russia, which could unleash the most unimaginable horror of war. President Joe Biden is caught in the middle of the fray. So far, he is siding with the Defense Department, saying there cannot be a NATO no-fly zone over Ukraine fighting Russian aircraft because, quote, that's called World War III, okay? Let's get it straight here, guys. We will not fight the Third World War in Ukraine. Although, when you look at Biden's trip over to Poland, talking about when he's talking to that regiment, when you are in the Ukraine and talking about regime change in Russia, you can obviously take Joe Biden's protestations here that he's not interested in starting World War III in the Ukraine with a pinch of salt, because he is part of a criminal syndicate which will ultimately do what he's told, and the man has no morals. But anyway, this article is talking about, I suppose, what his up until recently public narrative has been before he let the cat out of the bag. And to my mind, that's what happened and what he's thinking. President Biden's been clear that U.S. troops won't fight Russia and Ukraine. And if you establish a no-fly zone, certainly in order to enforce that a no-fly zone, you'll have to engage Russian aircraft. And again, that would put us at war with Russia, said the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin earlier this month. The administration plan is to bring down the Russian government, this article puts in brackets, through a ground insurgency and economic war, not a direct military one. In other words, you know, a proxy war against the, against Russia. By dragging that out and the sanctions, which these sanctions ultimately, you know, are only affecting and hurting us here in the West, not Putin. Well, minimal damage to Putin anyway, but, you know, when you look at wheat agriculture, there's going to be food shortages here. In the case of Germany, they're certainly going to suffer unless they play ball on Putin's terms. There's going to be all sorts of implications for the West. And of course, part of the plan, it's another story in itself, is to, I think, accelerate this, you know, green new energy deal. And Biden's actually using up our oil, the U.S. Oil resources now as well. I mean, this is a disaster. And this is only going to weaken the United States further if they're going to be that dependent on other nations for oil. as it is, what are they going to be like when they completely use up all their own oil reserves? This is further going to exacerbate a bad energy situation in the United States. And I suppose the way they look at it is, I mean, it's politically attractive for him to do this, you know, coming up to the midterm, or coming up to the November, the midterms in November, I believe. And so they can use that to that extent to try and bring the oil prices down a bit. But, you know, this is going to end up like QE, you know, because QE is the same thing. They got to keep the money printers going. Every politician comes in, because it's not very politically attractive to be, you know, tightening your belts, raising interest rates and getting this bubble under control. People aren't going to vote for that. They know that. So they got to keep the interest low, and they got to keep printing. And that, by the way, includes Donald Trump, despite running on the opposite of that when he was running. Once he got in there, he was exactly the same. He was desperate for these low interest rates and to keep the money printing going. And if they do the same thing with the oil, well, I'm sorry. I mean, they can print up money, but you can't print up oil. So if QE's anything to go by, and this ends up being the new political stunt, then you're going to use up all your oil reserves there in the United States, which would be a disaster. Anyway, I digress. The article goes on. Pressure on the White House from some members of Congress, and especially the press corps, is unrelenting to recklessly bring NATO directly into war. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who initially backed a plan to send NATO planes from Poland to Ukraine, has backed down and now opposes the no-fly zone. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, hailed as a virtual superhero in Western media, has vacillated between openness to negotiating a peace settlement with Russia and calling for NATO to close the skies above Ukraine, no-fly zone. To save his country, he appears willing to risk endangering the entire world. The Pentagon's mettle will be tested if there is a chemical weapons attack in Ukraine. Thankfully, we haven't had that yet. It seemed to my mind they were gearing up for it, because they were gearing up, and this, the rhetoric was that Russia was planning it, which means we're planning it here in the West. Biden, it's not too late, I suppose. Biden has said Russia would be a severe price, but who the perpetrator would be might be murky. Meanwhile, Western corporate media, depending almost exclusively on Ukrainian sources, report that Russia is losing the war. This must be where Andrew Neil is getting his information from, but I wish he would cite some sources at least. With its military offensive stalled, and infrastructure has deliberately targeted civilians and flattened cities. Biden has bought into this part of the story, calling Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal. He has also said that Russia is planning a, quote, false flag chemical attack to pin on the Ukraine. But on Tuesday, the Pentagon took the bold step of leaking two stories to reporters that contradict those tales. Quote, Russia's conduct in the brutal war tells a different story than the widely accepted view that Vladimir Putin is intent on demolishing Ukraine and inflicting maximum civilian damage, and it reveals the Russian leader's strategic balancing act. Reported Newsweek in an article entitled, quote, Putin's bombers could devastate Ukraine, but he's holding back. Here's why. The piece quotes an unnamed analyst at the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency. The heart of Kyiv has barely been touched, and almost all of the long-range strikes have been aimed at military targets. A retired U.S. Air Force officer now working as an analyst for a Pentagon contractor added, quote, we need to understand Russia's actual conduct. If we merely convince ourselves that Russia is bombing indiscriminately, or that it is failing to inflict more harm because its personnel are not up to the task, or because it is technically inept, then we are not seeing the real conflict. The article says, excuse me, as of the past weekend, in 24 days of conflict, Russia has flown some 1,400 strike sorties and delivered almost 1,000 missiles. By contrast, the United States flew, this article in brackets, in contrast, the United States flew more sorties and delivered more weapons in the first day of the 2003 Iraq War. Like I said, maybe that's where Andrew Neil in the previous article gets his standards from as to why he thought it would only take Russia a few days. A proportion of those strikes have damaged and destroyed civilian structures and killed and injured innocent civilians, but the level of death and destruction is low compared to Russia's capacity and capability. Quote, I know it's hard to swallow that the carnage and destruction could be much worse than it is, says the DIA analyst, but that's what the facts show. This suggests to me, at least, that Putin is not intentionally attacking civilians, that perhaps he is mindful that he needs to limit damage in order to leave an out for negotiations. A second retired U.S. officer says, U.S. Air Force officer says, I'm very frustrated by the current narrative that Russia is intentionally targeting civilians, that it is demolishing cities, and that Putin doesn't care. Such a distorted view stands in the way of finding an end before true disaster hits or the war spreads to the rest of Europe. You see, these are the adults in the room, but they're not getting a lot of coverage. I know that the news keeps repeating that Putin is targeting civilians, but there is no evidence that Russia is intentionally doing so. In fact, I'd say that Russia could be killing thousands more civilians if it wanted to. These Pentagon sources confirm what Putin and the Russian Ministry of Defense have been saying all along. Indeed, that instead of being stalled, Russia is executing a methodical war plan to encircle cities, open humanitarian corridors for civilians, leaving civilian infrastructure like water, electricity, telephony and internet intact, and trying to avoid as many civilian casualties as possible. And that echoes my understanding of it's been since I've been watching on RT, when I listened to this guy Scott Ritter, when I watch even some of the Indian coverage on and some of the networks there, when I listen to Douglas McGregor, Colonel Douglas McGregor, and this is very consistent with what you're hearing. And when you heard Vladimir Putin, I wish I had more time to cover his speech. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow on Richard Kerry's show. Excuse me, but, you know, Vladimir Putin's very much in control of the whole situation. And like Scott Ritter, he did an interview with Gerald Celente. I will say that I didn't agree with everything he said, and that my own worldview would clash with his somewhat in certain areas. But in terms of what's been happening out there, he very much echoes that Putin has been planning this for years, knowing that it's probably likely that he's just going to be ignored by the West and that it would come to this. And far from being some irrational, ornery, kind of volatile character who just, you know, unpredictable kind of a guy, he's very calculated and very patient. Anyway, until these Pentagon leaks, it was difficult to confirm that Russia was entirely telling the truth, and the corporate media were publishing fables cooked up by Ukraine's publicity machine. Indeed, and that just adds further weight to my own view, rule of thumb, and it's a view based on years of experience, that pretty much 90% of what comes out of our media, particularly when it comes to a war situation, is lies. I will leave it there. That article, by the way, is in Global Research. It's Michael Chozodowski's site. And it's called Pentagon Drops Truth Bombs to Stave Off War with Russia. As I say, some adults in the room there. We're out of time, folks. I do wish I could. I was doing this show live, but it's 3 a.m. our time. But I do make a point of recording these shows on Sunday evening. So it's actually 10:30 here on Sunday evening, on the 3rd of April. So I try to keep it as up-to-date as possible. It's just at 3 a.m. I'm, you know, starting, my mental capacity is waning a little bit. So it's actually, what, it's 10:30 p.m. here in the UK, which is 4:30 or 5:30 Eastern time. So it's as recent as you're going to get. Okay, thank you for listening. I will be with Richard Kerry on Beyond the Official Narrative at Midday Central live tomorrow. If you do listen to the show, it's always good if you want to call in there, if you want to say hello. And I will be back again next Sunday, same time, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern time. It's a shame I didn't have time to go through Putin's speech, but hopefully during the week I'm on with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock tomorrow on the Rants Network at 2 p.m. UK time, and I'll perhaps go over some of that then. Thank you very much for listening, and take care. Have a great week.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Come and go before you, the damn breeze. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.